All right, World of Dance is back on NBC, and I've got Ian Eastwood joining me here in studio.
Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. Popcorn Talk, we talk movies.
All right, you guys, welcome back to another episode of To The Point with Kristen Burt, presented by Popcorn Talk and Dance Network. And I am so excited by today's guest, who also chose this music. And we've got the disco lights,
yeah,
and to me, the best Michael Jackson album ever off the wall. Ian Eastwood, thank you so much for joining us today.
I'm happy to be here.
This is a really good way to start
yeah.
the hour, I think. And I already tried to get it out of him. I'll just let you guys know this ahead of time. Who won that three-way duel? And he said, you have to wait until tonight. And I was like, darn it.
It's not coming out.
It's not coming out. And NBC is also going to kill us if we talk about it in this hour. We are going to talk about the show, though, of course. And what we like to do here at To The Point is always just kind of like go back to the beginning. Go back to like baby Ian. And for you, your story to me is so fascinating because you've kind of created your dance career versus just taking classes and that's it. And I love the vision that not only you have had, but your parents have been so supportive along the way. So kind of take us back to like who inspired you to get into that very first dance class? Because I think you were watching some boy bands and stuff like that.
Yeah. I had originally first kind of started to take interest in dance around when I was 10. And it wasn't really like I knew exactly what I was doing, but I just started noticing, like, I think it was NSYNC on, like, some award shows and stuff like that, but I was really young, so I didn't really even understand fully, but it was definitely NSYNC, and I started, like, trying to do some moves with my friends, like, after school and stuff, and then my parents kind of were just like, oh, you know, like, he's pretty good, and my parents taught art classes out of our house. Since I was like maybe, I don't know, maybe like 4 or 5. And so there was like a constant flow of just like people in the community coming through. And my mom had met this lady who owned a local dance studio. And my parents went to go take a partner class there. And then I ended up dancing there. And then I took my first hip hop class like pretty shortly after that. And it was like the week of Halloween. And the teacher taught Thriller, and he taught like the choreography from the video. And I was 10, and at that time, like, you know, you're just starting to kind of find your own music at around 10 and like take interest in your own things. And I don't think Michael really had been releasing stuff around that era and at that time, and we didn't have cable, so I had basically discovered Michael like that first hip hop class, like what Michael Jackson
that's
was.
Kind of amazing.
Because I was 10, but there was no real reason for me to know who Michael Jackson was in everyday life, you know, unless he's on the radio or whatever, but he wasn't coming out with music.
Yeah, he's not on your local, like, pop station at that point.
Exactly, exactly. So I had just, like, basically discovered Michael Jackson in this class, and then, you know, my parents went and got me a DVD of his all his videos, and I remember seeing Smooth Criminal. Like, I got it for Christmas, I remember that year. I started dancing on, like, right around Halloween, and I got that DVD for Christmas. And I saw Smooth Criminal, and I saw all the other videos, too, but, like, for some reason, there was something about Smooth Criminal that I just really was like, this is the coolest thing I've ever seen, like, in my entire life. Like, this is the coolest thing.
You had really good taste at a young age. You understand that, right?
Yeah.
No,
mean,
seriously,
yeah.
Because he especially for in the 80s and then the 90s, I mean, he set the bar for what dance looked like in that era.
Yeah, and it was just something about, like, all these, like, cool dudes just dancing and just looking like wearing suits and just, like, looking awesome, you know?
And
like,
he's got the shoes in that one, too, right?
It's very fantastical, you know? He flips the coin and it flies for like 20 feet. And then, you know, he like hits a guy and he like disappears into the wall. And it's like, it's very corny, but also at the same time, like something so cool about that, you know, that just like makes it like at that time it was doing stuff that was like, oh my God, this happened in this music video. Like, that's so cool. Like,
well, Michael was a filmmaker too, and I don't think people necessarily appreciate that because he had a vision beyond just like, I'm going to sing and I'm going to dance a couple steps and do this. It was a whole overall concept.
Yeah. Exactly. And then that kind of like made me be like, I don't really know exactly what I want to do, but I like that's what I want to do. And I didn't necessarily want to like make music, but I liked the visual aspect of it. And that's pretty much like if you look at Smooth Criminal and you look at all the stuff that I've like done over the years, they're basically just like cool dance videos, and that's pretty much what like Smooth Criminal is.
Huge influence for you.
Yeah, exactly.
At what point, you know, I know you're at a local dance studio, but you kind of outgrew that, didn't you,
pretty fast, quickly? Yeah. Within, like, the first year, it was just, like, not the right spot. Because a lot of, like, local studios, they just, they don't, you know.
It's
they
recreational.
They don't really know the whole dance scape, you know. So, I went and trained at Giordano Jazz for, like, I think, like, 3 years, maybe. And I was, like, in their whole program. And I, like, took all these different genres. And
were you doing ballet at Giordano's?
I was doing ballet. I was doing jazz. I was doing tap. I was doing everything.
That's so amazing. Because that's a really big school in Chicago. It's a big deal.
Yeah. So, it's, like, and they started, like, a youth program, which was cool. So, I was over there doing that and training hard. And then I started training with Monsters of Hip Hop, like, pretty early on. And then I would just, like, spend my money to come out to L.A. and train in L.A. Anytime I could and just link up with, like, newer, younger choreographers that, like, I just related to and I just thought were really cool. And I've realized, I guess, like, recently that the whole reason I'm where I'm at more than my ability to dance is that I like to find people that, like, I like to find and support people that whose work is like really amazing, but maybe doesn't get like enough shine.
A little under the radar.
Yeah.
Well, and here's the interesting point. And there is a video, and I think you made it. And there's all these videos like 2009. You have all these choreographers, which I think came to Chicago. Mm-hmm. And I'm looking, and I'm like, oh, yep, yep, yep. I mean, all of these choreographers who now are even bigger. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, how were you even at that young age sort of like had an eye for like, I like their work. I like their choreography. Let's get them to the city.
See, that's what I'm saying. I know what's good better than me being good at it. So it's like, and it's literally the same thing with all, it's literally the exact same thing with all of my career. So it's not just within choreographers and me training and being like, yo, I think you're really dope. Would you be down to like come to me and my parents' house and like stay with us and collaborate with me and teach me a bunch of stuff? And if that goes to someone that's like, maybe like in their career, they're feeling like, I don't know what's going on. Like, people aren't giving me
a shot.
People aren't giving me a chance. And you have someone that's, like, pretty young being like, yo, I think you're amazing. Like, can you teach me stuff? Like, of course that's going to make you feel good. And so I just established that type of relationship with, like, a lot of people that I just am like, yo, I support you. I don't even know you. I don't even know anything about you. But, like, I think you're dope. I think you're this. I think you.
Were you taking classes with some of these people maybe at Monsters Hip Hop? Or were you seeing them on YouTube?
Sometimes I was just seeing them dance.
So are they sometimes like, were you like just sending them like an email at the time?
Or I remember I uploaded my first video to YouTube to try and get Tucker Barkley and Nick DeMora to see my choreography.
Get out.
Yeah, that's a fact. Because the first video I saw on YouTube in 2006 was, which is when I started my YouTube channel. I started my YouTube channel in 2006, and that's the year we got internet at my house. Which is a crazy sentence.
Your parents are happy they did that though.
Yeah. So I got the internet and I was just like, whoa,
there's a whole world right here.
Yeah, I was just so excited to have the internet, especially because we didn't even have cable. We got cable after we got the internet.
Well, your parents have been so supportive and just, I mean, I don't know if I would say to my mom, like, can this random choreographer come and stay with us and teach me and, like, everything's going to be fine.
They're pretty cool.
Yeah. I mean, was it their idea? Was it your idea or kind of you guys collaborated?
Well, so what happened was all the things that I did kind of came out of, like, happenstance. Like, I was training in Chicago. And I was saving my money to go to Monsters Hip Hop when I could and come to LA when I could. But the problem was, like, in Chicago, the community was kind of dying at the time. And it was going through a lot of, like, drama that didn't have anything to do with dance in any way. So we felt like Chicago needed something for people to, like, continue to grow. Because at that point, I had already invested, you know, maybe 5 years into the dance community of Chicago. So it's like, well, this is now my community. Mm-hmm. And there's nothing happening here. And I've started to post some videos and people start to like my stuff, and I've like built a couple relationships with people just by like, you know, being like, hey, you're cool and I like your stuff, and going to their classes and whatever. And so we were just like, it started with me trying to teach my own class independently outside of a crew, which was like a really big deal at that time, like going independent and like not having the support of a crew to post your flyer and do all this stuff was like a really big deal. So I taught a first solo class, and it was the same weekend as Thanksgiving, and we got like a really good turnout, and mm-hmm. it was like just off of me posting a flyer on MySpace that I like designed.
On MySpace.
Yeah.
We're going back.
Yeah. And that was like a really big deal, and like so the next one we hit up Nick DeMora, who's now Justin Bieber's creative director.
Huge.
And Ariana's creative, you know, he's done all that stuff. So but at that time he was actually not getting as much stuff out in LA. Like, he had just moved to LA. Like, he was having like a weird time with like the dance and choreography thing, and he had started uploading YouTube videos, and I was like flipping out because his style, like, just to me meant a lot, because I just was like, that's really cool. Like, I thought it was so dope.
Yeah, it's calling out to you. So
exactly. So we linked up and we taught like a collaboration class, and I think he was the first person we brought out, but maybe it might have been something else, but we brought out all those people: Tucker Barkley, Tony Zara, Julian Myers.
I'm like, who had a big year with La La Land, assisting yeah. Mandy Moore. Like,
yeah.
you just—it's like a time capsule. Erica honestly,
Sobel.
It's amazing.
Some really amazing choreographers. So we kind of started that because what happened was my training in Chicago kind of hit like a glass ceiling.
Yeah, you plateaued.
And then we couldn't afford, like, we literally could not afford to send me all the time.
You make a really good point, and you know, I think in one of your videos you're talking about it, just the conventions, they're so expensive.
Yeah.
And it's not affordable for everyone to go and fly every single weekend somewhere.
Yeah, and I always had tuition covered because I would win scholarships, so I didn't even have to pay for the convention, but it was still like, dang, I gotta do a flight, I gotta do food. I remember like weekends that my parents would really like help me out, and they would like get my flights, but then like I would pay for my food, and like
hotels are expensive.
Yeah, so I would try and like hustle a bunch of people in Chicago to go, because then if not all three of us have to go, or not even two of us, just me mm-hmm. and then someone they're cool with, like I would hustle my friends to like go to this convention yeah. so that I could pay less. Not hustle like in a bad way, but it was also like I pushed harder than I needed to, because
I discovered like, Ian's hustle.
I just wanted to dance so bad, and I wanted to get good so bad. It's literally all I cared about. That is like the only thing I care about in the world. So
the other thing that kind of amazes me too is your calling for teaching and choreographing came very young, because I think a lot of people don't discover that.
Yeah.
Choreographing maybe later on their career, teaching sometimes for them it's a fallback
yeah.
and a way to support themselves.
Mm-hmm.
But for you, it's kind of just instinctive.
Yeah. Well, the way I saw that was like my parents are both artists and are phenomenal. So I watched every single day. I mean, when you're a kid, it's like you're literally learning every day. So it's like if you grow up in your house every day of your life seeing your parents just create, every single day creating. So it's like when I was dancing, it didn't make any sense to me to just do the dancing part. Like, of course you would have to make up, well, if you're dancing, you got to make up your own dancing.
Right.
Of course you have to. So it wasn't, I didn't even really understand that was like a big deal to do.
Right.
I just thought that that's what you should do if you're dancing, because you should make your own at some point. It's cool to learn other people's, but you should also be able to do your own. And I don't know why. I mean, I guess it's just my parents, you know, just being artists and like creating themselves and, you know, stuff like that. So I started choreographing the same year I started dancing, and that came out because I wanted to perform at the talent show for the first time. I was about to go into middle school, and I wanted to perform at the fifth grade talent show.
Yeah.
And yeah, and I had asked my teacher if I could perform the piece that I had learned in class, and I was literally a few months into dancing, so I didn't understand anything about anything. And she took me privately into a room and like flipped out on me, and was like, made me feel so bad. And I'm a sensitive kid though, like, so maybe I like in my head it was way bigger deal than
right.
it was. But I, from my memory, she like flipped out on
like,
me.
You can't do like, someone else's
yeah.
work.
Yeah, and I was just like, I don't know what you're saying. I'm 10 years old. And my mom found out about that, and she flipped out, and she gave me a lot of love and encouragement. My mom was like, well, why don't you just go downstairs in the basement and you just like do your own thing, and you make your own dance. And she was like, it's going to be even better than the one you're going to do. And so she just gave me this major confidence boost. Mm-hmm. And then I went out and choreographed my first solo, and that is on a VHS somewhere.
You need to get that up on YouTube. You know that.
My first dance performance, my first piece of choreography ever. Yeah.
Come on, that'll have a million views in a day. That's incredible. At what point did you form Young Lions?
So Young Lions happened because we didn't have the money to keep sending me to train. So that's when I started bringing people out. And Young Lions was formed, essentially, it's what I've been saying. It's like the young, creative, hungry people that are striving to be, to be great, to be the leader of the pack, are striving to help others and lead. So it represents just those people that are working really hard, and maybe they're not getting the big recognition, but their creativity is pure, and it's coming from a place that's genuine to them and genuine to the people around them. So
did you form in Chicago and then
start in Chicago? Yeah, and then you moved and out it here. Was basically just workshops essentially, and then it kind of turned into clothes for us selling merch and just designs. And then that kind of spawned out of that I would do performance sets in Chicago, and my parents would design t-shirts for us to wear. And then when I started traveling to teach, my parents didn't want me to go alone because that's terrifying. Mm-hmm. So we would support one of my parents' air travel by selling shirts so that I could still keep the money that I made.
Yep.
Which is an awesome sacrifice as a parent, because right. you're actually spending money to just scratch even for your kid to make money, which is really cool. So they really helped me with that. And so then it was kind of more focused on workshops and clothes for a while. And then at a certain point I started teaching at Pulse. Mm-hmm. And I started training a consistent group of people, as opposed to traveling the world and teaching a different workshop in a different place all the time. It's hard to build. It's easy to build relationships with organizers, but it's hard to build relationships with students, because, if you go to Italy 2 times a year and then you come back the next year, maybe some student that you thought was really, really amazing but you were gone all year, maybe they just have life stuff because they live in Italy or they live right. in whatever country, and it's
you're
just
not seeing them every week.
Yeah, dance is just not a real thing, it's a hobby. Mm-hmm. In a lot of places, even as much as seriously as some people take it, it's there's literally not any work for them to support themselves besides teaching classes locally. So it's hard for people to build that momentum in different countries and different places. But with the dance convention, it was cool because I was seeing the same people coming to different cities again and again and again. And yep. then next year it's the same kid again and again and again. And then
you're building a following.
Yeah, I build a relationship with these kids. So and now they're not even kids. These are all men now that are I was only a couple years older than them at the time, but if it's 18 and 15, it's oh my God, this is literally a kid.
It seems a million years difference.
Yeah,
but
now
not.
It's they're 21 and I'm 24, and it's no crazy. It's crazy though.
It's
so it's
totally
I've been with them for so long and training them. And so what happened was we needed to kind of give some solidarity to the people that I was training. So mm-hmm. we started calling them probably going back 2-ish, 3 years ago. We started calling certain people Young Lions because I started to realize, okay, well, there's a regular group of people that, if I'm going to be working, and I started to work more, so I need dancers more, mm-hmm. I need to kind of have some consistency with this. So we kind of started Young Lions. It's basically a training program. It's not really even, it is a crew now because we've been on the show and there's,
World of Dance.
Exactly. We're a crew now because we hang out every day, because we work every day, because we, do all this stuff. So it's been a long process, but it wasn't originally formed to be a crew. It was just for me to have something to train the new generation, because right. I had felt I was at the tail end of the last generation, because I was so young and just starting to work a little bit and just starting to hang around and see what it was like out here before the internet kind of changed everything, and then the internet was like a whole separate generation, and then there was like a secondary generation to the internet.
Mm-hmm.
And we're in that kind of like right now, and it's probably going to go into a new thing very soon.
It shifts quickly
very soon. And for this generation, they have no idea about the generation that I came from, even though I'm technically in this middle generation.
Right, and you're also not that old. Do you know what I mean? You're not 50, you're not 60.
But then it's weird because I've been around in dance for 14 years.
Right.
Which is a long time.
It's a lifetime.
Yeah.
It really is a lifetime.
Now it's been over half my life. So
that's amazing.
Yeah, so it's like, there's only 10 years of my life where I wasn't dancing now. You know?
And you're like, I don't remember life without it anymore.
Yeah, I literally don't. So it's something that's like very personal and deep to me because I've invested so much time into this that it's in the last year, it's made everything a lot easier because I approach everything from like a pure standpoint of like, well, at this point after where I'm at, like, what's the point of me doing this unless I care about it? Because I've done all the stuff that I wanted to do, which is awesome to say. Like, as goals that I set for myself as a 15-year-old or as a 14-year-old, like, I accomplished those things way earlier than I expected to. Mm-hmm. So at this point moving forward, it's like, unless there's a real reason, unless there's, like, a bigger purpose I'm trying to serve for, like, people, there's not a whole lot of reason for me to do something unless I'm really passionate about it, you know?
Yeah, and I mean, what are those goals? Because I actually saw you at the High Strung premiere, which I guess now was over a year and a half ago.
Mm-hmm.
And you were like, I want to direct a feature film.
Mm-hmm.
Is that still on the radar?
Yeah, it's still on the radar. I've grown a lot as like a person, though, I think, since then. At that time, everything was more driven by personal goals that like I want to, like milestones that I want to accomplish. So at that time, it was much more like, I want to have done this exact thing by this point in my life. I want to have done this exact thing. But at this point, dance has shifted a lot since then, and my life has shifted a lot since then. Mm-hmm. And I've also become more realistic with certain things and where they're at and how things flow and in LA and just everything. Things are very different. So I'd say that that's definitely a goal of mine, to direct a feature, but not in the same way that it was before, in the sense that, like, I just wanted to do it. But now at this point, I think my purpose is bigger than just, like, I want to direct a feature film. It's more like, I want to be a part of something at all times that's making a difference in a positive
way. Like a passion. You want a passion project. Exactly. You don't want to just, like, I'll take this because I'm going to take a great paycheck and stuff like that.
So if it's like, if it's time for me to direct a feature film in my life, then it's like, that's what I believe I should be doing. But like right now, I'm working with a lot of artists behind the scenes, and mm-hmm. not a lot of, times the work that I do doesn't have anything to do with dance. Sometimes I'll just go to the studio with an artist and just tell them, they'll just ask my opinion about where this song should go on the album, where the like stuff that has literally nothing to do with dance. But I guess what I think is my bigger purpose is that being a part of the culture, being a part of like hip hop culture, being a part of dance culture, mm-hmm. trying to like kind of reintegrate dance more into hip hop culture in the way that I think it used to be. And just blending those things and getting the door a little bit more open for dance, because dancers are just very like secluded, and mm-hmm. they just kind of keep this like guard up, and I don't know, I just think that we're such a huge part of human culture since the beginning of time, but dancers to me sometimes feel like they're very desperate for people to love and appreciate them, when it's like, but you're so dope on your own, you know?
Right.
Just do your thing, just shine and just like create your own thing, you know, instead of being like, no one's giving me opportunity, no one's giving me a voice, no one's like, well, if you're a real artist, like, you just you just scream and you make that voice be heard, you know? And that's kind of like, I guess, the route I took, just not in such a like ugly way,
No, but it's good because you're kind of like, you're an anomaly in that way because you discovered it at a very young age, where I think a lot of artists, like, it sometimes takes them their entire life to get there. And I think, you know, for you too, which I do think is interesting, and I do want to talk a little bit about World of Dance. You were initially a little hesitant to go on the show. Can you talk a little bit about that hesitation?
Yeah, well, I've danced on a TV show before, and then I've danced on just in general on TV a few times. And TV is hard because the moment something goes on TV, it has 1,000 more people that it has to, like, filter through and that have to sign off on things. And any amount of those people, you could drastically have a different goal than the person that is in charge of how you look on television.
Right.
So that's really scary as someone that's an artist. And also something that's really scary as someone that's an artist is, you know, the last television show I went on, we didn't get to pick our music. We didn't get to pick what we wore. We didn't get to pick anything. And then
you're talking about America's Best Dance Crew?
Yeah.
Ah, I didn't know it was that controlled.
Yeah. And then we had to say that we love this song, we picked this week, and it's just like, I don't know, it's...
I know music clearance is hard, we do know that, we talk about that all the time, but at the same time, if you're not moved by the music as a crew, like, what do you do?
Yeah, well, that's not what I'm doing this for, you know? Yeah. Like, I don't do this because, I don't know, it was very hard on America's Best Dance Crew. It was a very hard experience, so it was good, though. I learned, like, a ton, and I learned about the reality of being on a reality show. And it was like a great experience. It wasn't bad in any way, but it is not reality, right?
Right.
So whatever you're seeing is not that things are controlled, but things are skewed however who wants them to be seen this way or
they
that way.
They do have a storyline for everyone. I think people need to understand that they're like, this is the crew that does this, and this is the crew that... And so they kind of have that theme that runs through the entire season.
Yeah.
That isn't necessarily who you are off
exactly.
camera.
Exactly. And then the problem with any TV show is, like, I'm not a big drama person. Mm-hmm. So sometimes for TV, I think it's like, why do we have this dude? Because he's just, like, chilling and not really... He's just doing his thing and just, like...
You're not going to bring on, like, the crazy...
I'm just not. I'm not going to say anything outrageous. I might say something that's very true and hurts some people's feelings, but that's just also, like, that's trying to be hip-hop. That's trying to be, like, part of the culture and be truthful, and that's just, like, trying to honor the culture. So it's, like, I'm not really going to provide a lot of drama or like TV excitement other than like whatever I'm going to create, you know? So you don't know what type of show it is when someone's asking you, do you want to be on a TV show?
And it took nappy tabs, right? To get
Yeah, exactly. And so I kind of like just was working and enjoying what I was doing and didn't really have like, you know, time to even really consider it. And then I got a personal phone call from Nappy Tabs actually while we were at a World of Dance live show, which is really odd. And they told me like kind of what the vibe was, that they were EPing it and they were just trying to like really do dance justice. And you know, they had mentioned like a couple people that they had talked to that were like really considering it. And then once I heard that, I was like, you know, okay, like not even, you know, not that it was a guaranteed thing, but just like, is this something you're interested in? That's what flip the switch for me was like, okay, so this is real. So we're doing this for dance culture. Okay.
Like, this is legit.
Okay, yeah. Cool. Like, I'm going to hear this out because this is, like, important to me. Mm-hmm. The only reason why it wouldn't be important to me is if it was going to be something that wasn't legit. And the moment that you have any of these people that are on the show, the twins, Keone Mari, Jabwa, I mean, these are real people in the dance community. So it automatically validates it by just the people that show up.
Right. Absolutely.
You know.
So when you get there, and I want to talk about the qualifying round because I had this whole discussion on it. They, you know, you guys perform, and then the judges were a little bit like, I think it needed to be more. And I was like, does anyone know what, like, Ian's choreography and style looks like? Yeah. To me, I thought that was like... I got a little confused too. Well, and but here's the other thing. I would have been like, "Are you kidding me?" And then you handled it so well. Like I was like, I would have melted down. Probably been like, "Are you kidding me? Have you watched me on YouTube? Have you seen it?" Which you can't do. I know that. But at the same time, I was like, you took the constructive criticism and thought some of it. I thought was a little not so helpful, but I thought you took it so well, and you took it very openly.
Well, here's the thing: is like, not everybody's gonna like what you do. And I learned that from, like, a super young age by, like, literally people just blowing up my computer by saying, like, super hateful stuff and, like, stuff
that doesn't... Good old YouTube comments.
Yeah, so, like, I don't know. If someone doesn't like something I do, I'm literally just like, okay, cool. Like, you know? Like,
that's it.
Well, I'm going to keep doing it, you know?
Right.
I whether I'm on this national television stage or whether I'm making this video for $500, I'm literally going to be doing the same thing. So it's like, I'm only here... to show my art to the world, you know? So if you like it, you like it. If you don't, you don't. It's cool. But, like, I'm trying to just do something that I think people will enjoy and people can relate to and, like, something that's not, like, super prevalent in culture right now. It's, like, you know, more intricate, more seriously taken dance. Like, that's not super popular. So I'm trying to show people and show kids that, like, if you like this, like... There is people that do this for real and, like, really love it. And, like, and they don't wait for people to tell them, yes, they can do it. We're a group of kids that just go out and we don't have a permit and we don't have a this and we don't have a that. But we're going to make a dope video and people are going to like it and they're going to feel, like, connected to it. Because it came from somewhere that was just, like, we're doing it for culture. It's not for...
It's genuine. It's authentic.
Yeah, I'm not trying to get anything out of anybody. Like, if I'm dancing to a song, it's because I really love this song. Maybe I want to connect with the artist, and I think we can make some cool art together. Like, it's not, I want to be popular because I'm picking this artist, because a lot of artists I pick, like, people don't even, haven't even heard of yet,
right.
or whatever. And, like, I'm trying to show people, like, yo, look at this artist, and, like, you know, that's what I've always been trying to do. So, I don't know, it just comes from a place that's, that just cares, so...
Well, that's good, you handled it well. Did you, because they were like, take it up a notch, this is a competition... When you went into the battle, I know we can't talk about the outcome of the battle. Did you amp it up or did you come in still with like, this is who I am?
Well, so you have a choice. When you get a criticism like that on a TV show, you have a choice. You could either take it and be butthurt about it, even if you disagree with it, which I kind of disagree with.
I disagree with it, so I'll second that.
I just disagree with it because as judges, you're not telling contemporary people to come up and not do contemporary because it wasn't hard enough for the competition.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's what I do. I do, well, actually, that's not just what I do. I do, I'll do whatever. I'll do a hip-hop record. I'll do a super aggressive record. I'll do something that people would think is only for contemporary. I'll do a funky record. It doesn't matter. I love music. I'll dance to whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I don't pigeonhole myself stylistically. So I decided to do this week because I thought, okay, well, no one's about to come up here and just... rock to the beat and really like pull out the essence of something that's super funky and makes you feel, I don't know, just in
a
different
era. It has a
certain
swag to it that I think like that I'm always like, that's, it was different than everything else we were seeing too. So that's why I was like, this is why this criticism shouldn't be there. That's what I felt.
Well, it's authentic. It's coming from a place that I listen to this song. I pay attention to what this song should look like, and I think I made a good job of making this song come to life. Now, if it's right for the TV show, I understand. Mm-hmm. Do they think it's right for the TV show? That's what I feel like they were trying to say. But you can't get knocked on points for being yourself.
It's true.
So that's essentially what I got knocked on points for, was like me not deciding to do a hype song.
Right.
So then week two, it's like, okay, well, we're going to just do exactly what this show wants, you know, because that's what we gotta be here, you know? So
in the moment, what TV
we gotta
needs.
Be here, yeah. You know? So it's like, I gotta be smarter than doing what I did. So it's like, I thought it would be this way. I thought people would perceive it this way. But that was an error on my end. That's not the show's fault. They want the show... I'm competing on a national television show, you know, so it's not really their fault for giving me that critique when you got all these other people setting the bar at 1,000% if they're doing urban dance or hip hop, right? So it's hard to like be in their position. Yeah. And also, like, at the same time, too, it's like they got to have something to say for every, like, you know, like, it can be hard to be a judge, you know, because even when I judge, I'm writing down numbers. But it's hard to, like, sometimes also know that you're speaking on a national television platform as a judge. Like, you know, it's like you got, I got to say something in this way. I got to be open-minded this way. I've given a lot of critiques today. I've given a lot, you know, like,
right.
It's so much bigger than our performance on that show. So it doesn't bother me. You know, any negativity, I mean, it doesn't really bother me.
You handled it better than I did.
No,
I was yelling at the TV. I was like, what?
No, it's just like, I just see, okay, I see what you're saying. I understand why you would think that. And
but you see the big picture, too.
Yeah, it's like, okay, so then week two, we'll come back and we'll do something that I kind of had, like, already planned, you know, but we'll amp it up more than I anticipated doing because we're here now. I'm trying to stay. You know what I'm saying?
Course.
Like,
yeah.
I'm not trying to lose. Like, I'm trying to win this.
You're like, a million is good. I like
if
it.
If I'm competing, like, I'm not a super overtly, like, I need to win everything all the time person. But if I'm going to compete and it's something that I'm good at, like, okay, well, I'm going to try my hardest. Like, I'm not going to, like, phone it in.
Right,
you know?
Right.
Like, I'm here and this is me being represented on TV. So, like, let's go. Like, let's go really crazy. So, actually, as a crew, our this round is actually kind of like what changed the whole dynamic in our group, because it was like, we're here and we're all tired and we're all drained and we're all dead and we're all trying to make this happen. So we got to really, like, connect on a different level and just, like, make this super dope. So,
and who are you competing against? Is it Kinja's?
So no, we're against Jabberwockies and Rouge.
Jabberwockies, okay.
Yeah.
Rouge. All right.
Yeah. So it's crazy because, well, I know Rouge, like, I know JoJo and all those girls.
Yep.
Like, I've known them for a super long time. And
then everyone knows Jabberwockies. So.
And then Jabba. I know Jabba, too. So
yeah.
I was, like, I actually knew Jabba before they were even on TV. So, like, I have like, throwback shirts of theirs and, like, DVDs of theirs before they were even on television,
mm-hmm.
that I would buy off them. I got to train with one of their members who unfortunately has passed away, Gary. I got to take class with him before he, you know, was gone. And so, like, I knew Jabba for a really long time, and it was just dope to, like, be on the show with them. And
that's great.
It's pretty cool.
I know. They really set the bar, just, you know, being the first.
I mean, culture.
Yeah, absolutely.
Everybody knows who Jabberwockies is.
Everyone does. You don't have to know dance. You'll still know who they are.
Yeah.
That's what's
literally everybody.
So
I mean, they have
incredible.
A show in Las Vegas, so it's like,
yeah, that's probably almost as mainstream as it comes, because people go, everyone goes to Vegas, I
and
think,
like,
at some point.
It's just dope to have people representing hip-hop culture that's, like, came from a place that they were just doing it to be artistic and cool and just do something different. Like, I watched those sets on YouTube when they were first going up, you know, and no one knew what Jabberwockies was. Like, these dudes, this crew that got together and wore masks and came, like, just super hard on hip-hop, like, man, that's awesome. Like, you know, like, wearing masks too, you can't even tell what race people are, you don't, you know, but it's just dudes dancing, like, killing it.
Yeah, and really making an impact too.
Yeah.
I think that's such a big deal. And I mean, too, the world of dance has made a huge impact.
Mm-hmm.
I think that people don't necessarily understand. I'm like, what is this? I've never seen this. And I'm like, a lot of these people are very famous in the dance community, but
yeah.
This has really opened up. I mean, have you seen the impact from your angle of just, like, a wider audience just from your appearance so far? Because you're making your second appearance tonight.
Yeah, it's
and we're crazy. We're week six.
Yeah, it's, like, pretty far in already.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's definitely different. Man, I don't really know. I think it's going to be how it truly affects the dance community is going to be, like, a slower process than how the public is affected. Like, people are just gonna be hype off of dance,
mm-hmm.
right away, which is gonna be exciting.
Mm-hmm.
But it'll, like, the bigger things that shift culture will take a while. You know, it'll be like Keone and Mari get some crazy cool gig off of doing this, you
right.
know, or like they get an Emmy or something, like
for 2018, because they're not even eligible for this year's Emmys. That's
exactly.
What's crazy.
So it's like something crazy like that will happen. And it will shift things, because now it is, like, it is setting a new bar of
yeah.
what is publicly and culturally accepted as good.
You know, you talk a lot when we were talking off camera, just a lot about the shifting dance culture. And there's a big shift. And I really felt the shift, too, as we sort of turned the corner where La La Land even came out. What do you think is good about this shift? And what do you think should be improved on this shift?
That's a great question. I think what's awesome about dance culture shifting right now is that things can be spread so easily because of the internet. And I think that people can connect really easily. People can gather together very easily. Technology allows us just so many opportunities to do things that weren't possible so short ago. The bad things, there's a long list, but
the highlights, I guess.
Yeah, there's a long list, but I think people's focus in this new shift is very disheartening. I think that people's focus on success and popularity and
likes on social media,
I think it's just a little ugly a little bit. And it makes me sad because I don't do it for that reason. And it makes me sad to know that it's not really fair to be mad at the kids because they literally don't know any other way that there was of being besides people getting a notification when people like them.
Right.
Literally people getting a notification, oh, this person likes you. This person likes you. They like. That, like, messes with your brain.
Especially turn off the notifications.
Especially if you're, like, a young person that's developing and understanding what's right and wrong. And it's just, like, it's just hard for them, I feel like, to even know that something's wrong because it's so widely accepted. So I think those are, like, it's more just that things are less pure, I guess.
Yeah.
Things are less pure. Things are very accessible, but also because everything's so accessible, nothing matters for more than half a second. So people don't spend time on things. That kind of bums me out. Yeah, but I think in the positive light, there are definitely people that are able to create beyond what they ever would have been able to create because of technology, you know? So even myself, I went from like 2 years ago maybe doing a video that would cost me $1,000, $2,000 to something that's a zillion times better quality that now there's like a program called PeerSpace where I can rent a location with permission for 4 hours for $50.
Insurance, like there are all these things like, that, like people don't realize that
that's basically like Airbnb on an app. For locations, and it's like, okay, well, you know, now there's a drone that can fit in someone's backpack and we can get aerial shots that are like 4K image. I mean, you know what I'm saying?
Well, the drone stuff with dance is ridiculous because it's so awesome. To me, it's such a game changer for what you guys can create.
So it's just like the moment that you're able to do all of that stuff for no money for someone that's a creative is super exciting, and it's like very awesome because you get to see what someone that normally wouldn't have that access can create on, you know, just being creative. So that's dope because you get to see real artists shine. You just got to look for them. That's the problem. Because the problem is that people like aim low. I kind of talked about this on Twitter recently. People tend to aim low because sometimes it's a bigger payoff to do something that's easier because it's quicker and you could get it out faster and it's to this song or it's to this thing that will make it go through the roof.
You'll know you'll get the likes or the views or whatever you're looking for.
Exactly. So I don't have a problem with anybody like, you know, putting out content and like showing the world what they do. I just think the dance world could be much more real about like people's intentions, because I'm someone that's been around dance for 14 years, so I could tell the difference when I watch someone dance to a song whether this is something that's coming from their heart or whether this is something that was manipulated to gain popularity on social media. I know the difference.
Yeah, you're like, I can see right through it.
And it's like, that's kind of a gut thing that you can't really state as a fact, but at the point where I've been around this long, I'm gonna state it as a fact, because it's like, I care about this so much. It's not that you can compare who's caring about things more or less, but I know that I've done a lot of things in the dance world that inspired a lot of people to think differently. Mm-hmm. So I do know I have that, and I have a lot of validation by people that I really look up to that are OGs in the game that have really gotten a lot of respect along their way. And knowing I have those things makes me confident in the way I feel and the way that I want to speak about, you know, the betterment of dance. And because it's kind of like I talked before, I don't have any ulterior motive. Like, I've been able to support myself off of dance since I was 15. So
that's amazing.
I don't need it, you know? I don't need
But so likes. Many other dancers and choreographers can't say that, too. So you've found a way to really make it work and make it a part of your life. It's a whole universe, actually, for you, which is incredible.
Exactly.
Believe it or not, like, the hour's pretty much up. I know. Isn't that kind of crazy?
I
do have one final question for you. I'm like, we could have been here for another 2 hours.
I love dance. I'll talk about it forever.
I know. Well, maybe you can come back and we can talk about all these other topics. I'll save my notes. Okay. One final question, though. In 5 years, where will you be in your head? Just now, in 2017, where do you think you'll be in 2022?
Whoa. Oh, man. And I'll be 29.
Whoa. Still a baby.
Yeah, that's a good question. Man, you're catching me at like a super transitional point
in
my life.
Though. It's good.
It's a very transitional point where I kind of don't necessarily have like something holding me down anywhere, because so much has opened to me in the last year, because I stopped holding myself back as like that. I don't know, I guess being insecure as a creator and limiting myself to choreography. So I don't know, I guess what I would hope for is to be like, I don't have anything really specific, you know. I guess it's more just to make an impact continue to make an impact on culture. It's to inspire like groups of young men, of all young women of all different cultures, to like really put out and dedicate time to being a good artist, you know, and like having a unique voice and finding themselves and being like, if I can inspire a lot of young great artists, that would be really cool. I definitely want to be doing a lot more directing, and but it's weird because I like every aspect of my career. I like directing a lot. I love choreographing a lot, and I'm doing that for like a bunch of really awesome artists. I love creative directing, where I'm not even choreographing, but just like having, you know, creative input on artists. Like, I love doing all that stuff. I guess kind of just being a curator. Like, I just want to be
like
someone that just, you know, if I speak on something and I've put something out, it's like people will enjoy it in some way. And it doesn't have to be about me. Just like, I want people to have access to things that I think are of like a high quality that I could tell came from someone that's like, this is real to me.
Yeah. Well, I said this to you a year and a half ago and you won't even remember, but I was like, there's aspects to your career that are very Bob Fosse-like, and he's one of my favorite directors.
Cool.
Director, choreographer, someone who has a really keen eye.
Yeah.
So I'm just going to put that out there. And
well, I appreciate
that.
That's a big one.
So good. It's such a good one, though. And I really, you know, thank you so much for like stopping by today and just talking about this. And seriously, the invite is open, because I'm like, we've got at least another hour of material.
We could talk about dance forever.
All right. Well, we'll have to figure that out. So maybe sometime in the fall. I know you're super busy the next few
we'll
months. And stuff. Absolutely. Well, thank you. And we'll find out how that battle or that duel winds up, since
we'll see
won't
tonight.
Tell me.
We'll
you
see
guys,
tonight.
He didn't even tell me off camera. So I just want you to know, like, you know,
I'm
me
good.
And my scoop. He
NBC. I got you guys.
Yeah, he's got your back, NBC. All right. Where can everyone find you on social media?
My Twitter and everything is Ian_Eastwood. And then my YouTube is still DJ Icon, which is from when I was 10.
Oh,
so.
When you were 10. That's so cute. I love it. All right, you guys. We will see you next week on To The Point. I have a little bit of a calendar shift. It's going to be at the same time, same place, but the guest will be announced later on this week. So thank you so much for joining us with To The Point. We will see you all next week.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of the Popcorn Talk Network or its owners or principals.